U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is calling on the nation to lead a coalition of the willing to defeat ISIS. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, November 24th. We will talk with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson in this first half hour about how he says the U.S. should proceed militarily following the terrorist group's deadly attack in Paris. We'll also discuss his bill to deal with Syrian refugees coming to the U.S., and we will welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We did invite Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin and other members of Wisconsin's Democratic Congressional Delegation to join us during this hour, but they were unavailable. We will be talking with a foreign policy analyst coming up at 7:30. Ron Johnson is a Republican U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. He is the chair of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, and he serves on the Foreign Relations and Budget Committees. He is the author of the Senate version of the bill that would increase screening of Syrian refugees to the U.S. Good morning.
Morning, Joy. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for being with us. I wanted you to react to the issue that's in the news leading our NPR newscast all morning long, and that being that Turkey has shot down a Russian plane over Syria, claiming it was violating airspace, and Russia denying that. This is worrisome, is it? Isn't it?
It's definitely worrisome. It certainly complicates the matter. I think the question you need to ask is, what was Russia doing that close to the Turkish border? And it also shows really that the danger of this, the events in Syria spinning out of control. It'd be nice if we could, just take a hands-off approach and say, well, what happens in Syria and stays confined to Syria. But it's not. I mean, we see this enormous refugee problem, 4 million refugees outside of Syria, 7 million Syrians displaced within Syria, 200,000 to 300,000 Syrians slaughtered. And the fact that we have not been leading a coalition, that we have really, the West, all of the West has really turned its face away from this genocide and allowed events to spin out of control in Syria, it is now resulting in the refugee crisis, and it threatens literally the West and the civilized world. Islamic terrorists declared war on the civilized world decades ago. And, we've obviously embarked in wars and battles to try and destroy them, but we haven't. And the threat is actually growing. It's real, and we need to take it seriously.
Well, so what is this coalition of the willing that you would like to see happen?
Well, I think the model I'm talking about is what George H.W. Bush, how he approached Saddam Hussein's invasion of Kuwait. He laid out a very clear goal. Said this will not stand, and we were going to push Saddam Hussein out. And then he went about and assembled a coalition where our coalition partners supplied about a third of the troop levels. About 250,000 troops is what the coalition partners supplied to that effort, and they funded it about 85%. Now, that is a commitment. That shows a commitment on the part of coalition partners, not just signing an agreement saying, I'll be part of the coalition, because we need that type of commitment. Now, I don't think we need that even close to that level, troop level, but we need that level of commitment on the part of the civilized world to defeat ISIS, which means we have to deny them that territory, because every day that ISIS is not losing, they are going to be perceived as winning, and they'll continue to inspire the type of barbarity that we are witnessing literally around the world. Joy, it's, the State Department publishes what they call a study of terrorism and response to terrorism, their START report, every year, and the latest year was for 2014. In just 3 years, from 2012 to 2014, the number of terrorist attacks, this is according to the State Department, has doubled, going from about 6,700 to over 13,000. The number of people killed in terrorist attacks has tripled, going from 11,000 to almost 33,000. Again, that just shows that the terrorism is growing in the world. It's not receding. And, until the civilized world bands together, realizes the threat it really faces, look at the civil liberties that are being denied right now in Belgium and in France. I mean, if you're concerned about civil liberties, you better be concerned about security, because if we allow this to continue to spin out of control, if terrorist attacks continue on the rise and we get hit here in America, that's when you really have to be concerned about civil liberties.
Yeah, Kent called in, and he was concerned. He said, how many times have we heard coalition of the willing and committing ground troops before? He is saying it hasn't worked, and we're not ready for another military battle.
Listen, I understand the reluctance. Nobody wants to go to war. The historic blunder was when we pulled out of Iraq in 2011. You know, the war was over. It's fabulous success, according to the president and the vice president. But the fact of the matter is we didn't learn the lessons of history, that once you have actually sacrificed, actually you've won a war, you need to leave behind a stabilizing force. That's what we did in Germany, in Japan, in South Korea. Look at the successes of those situations. We didn't do that in Iraq, and so by not doing that, we were the glue that held that fragile coalition together in Iraq. When we bugged out of there, that coalition started fraying almost immediately, and it allowed ISIS to rise from the ashes of what was a defeated al-Qaeda in Iraq, and now we're having to deal with it. And again, if we continue to ignore it, this isn't going away. The flood of refugees into Europe potentially starts stabilizing those states as well. And, you know, we're talking about a refugee problem. What about the visa waiver loopholes that could also threaten this as some of those refugees or homegrown terrorists, French and other European citizens, have access to the visa waiver program? So these threats are real. We've seen Islamic terrorism on our soil, 9/11, Fort Hood, Texas, Chattanooga, Tennessee, probably the most recent example of that. Now we see the slaughter. I mean, just think, in the last 3 weeks, we had a Russian jet blown out of the sky over Egypt. We had bombings in Beirut. We had the terrorist attack in Paris, and then a terrorist attack in Mali. I mean, this is ramping up. This is growing. This threat is real. We have to take it seriously.
John in Appleton is with us. Hello, John.
Yeah, I think the first thing to consider in any situation like that is to understand where the other side is coming from. And I don't hear anything from Ron Johnson or the other people who are calling about sending in the troops about any recognition that maybe they're doing these terrorist attacks simply in order to get us to send in the troops.
Yeah.
Because a battle between civilizations is part of their ideology. It's going to bring on the end times.
So this boots on the ground is what ISIS wants, Senator Johnson.
Yes, I mean, let's put it this way. Islamic terrorists declared war on the civilized world. And the only way you end a war is either both sides have to agree to end it. ISIS obviously is not agreeing to end it, or one side has to be defeated. So, again, Islamic terror declared war on us decades ago. And you know, we originally decided to treat it as a police enforcement action, a law enforcement action, and the result ended, you know, what ended up happening was 9/11. And almost 3,000 Americans were slaughtered in that action. Does that have to happen again before we once and for all are committed as a civilized world to wiping out this scourge of Islamic terror throughout the world? And again, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's going to be quick. But our first action has got to be to deny ISIS that territory, because that sets up that caliphate, and that gives them power, and that gives them, you know, even more ability to inspire and grow their organization.
You know, well, France is bombing now. Russia is not happy now. And couldn't we continue airstrikes, and couldn't that result in a defeat of ISIS?
No. I mean, it can potentially contain them, but that's what President Obama said just last Friday. Remember, he said ISIS is contained. You know, maybe territorially, in terms of their territory in Iraq and Syria, I think even that is potentially subject to dispute. But hours later, we saw that they're not contained because the attacks in Paris and Mali happened. So they're not contained, and I don't think there's any military expert says you can really defeat an enemy strictly through air power. In the end, it's going to require ground troops. Again, my concept of that would be that coalition of the willing, where you have a fully committed, for example, countries in NATO, Gulf states. You know, take a look at the coalition that George H.W. Bush put together to push Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait. There's the model.
Joe in Wausau is with us. Hi, Joe.
Oh, good morning. As far as the Iraq thing, I think the blunder was going in the first place, and they didn't get rid of Saddam Hussein. And then as far as the Syria, I have agreed with pausing on the you know, taking in the immigrants and the refugees until they're totally vetted. You know, and I think if they haven't given Obama an authorization for war yet, I don't know why they don't put that forward. And that's what I've been hearing in the news a lot. And if we do go in and the Republicans push this, if there's a lot of casualties and it turns out to be like what happened in Iraq, come election next year, they're going to be using that on every TV ad. Look what Obama did. Took us to war. And, you know, America is not ready for what happened in Iraq again.
Thank you, Joe. We're going to get Senator Johnson to respond to your comments after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson about fighting ISIS. And after news, we will also talk more about his bill to deal with Syrian refugees. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson about ISIS, the U.S. response to the Paris attacks, and Syrian refugees. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. Senator Johnson is only with us until 7:30, so if you want to talk with him, you'll have to call in right away. We just heard from a caller before news time, Senator Johnson, who, and we'll get to refugees next, but he was concerned that America is not ready for another ground war, as you are proposing, and he thinks the GOP will just blame Obama when this doesn't work.
Well, understand, I'm not proposing war. ISIS and Islamic terror declared war on civilization. Do we respond or don't we? And I think we have to respond. That's my whole point. So, no, I'm as every bit reluctant as anybody to go to war. But certainly, I'll tell you that the vets that I talked to that were in Iraq and Afghanistan the first time, that they're probably the ones most willing to get back in there. They're a little upset that their hard-fought gains have been pretty well frittered away. So, no, nobody wants war, particularly our war fighters. But, again, Islamic terrorists declared war on us, and we see the manifestations of it. Again, a Russian jet blown out of the sky, the bombings in Beirut, the Paris attack, the Mali attack. We can't bury our head in the sand. We ignore this at our own peril.
Senator Johnson, you are the author of a Senate version of the bill that would increase screening of Syrian refugees coming to the United States. So tell us about your bill.
Well, what it really does is it asks the Secretary of Homeland Security and the FBI Director and the Director of the National Counterterrorism Center to certify that all the vetting steps are actually performed, and that because they're performed, the people that we let in are not a threat. And what I've been saying for quite some time is, you know, if you're going, this administration pretty well has the legal authority to let in the refugees, and they're going to do so. So I view my job as holding their feet to the fire, that the vetting process isn't short-circuited. You know, we're going to increase the number of refugees within this country by 21% the first year, 43% the second. I'm concerned that they'll try and shortcut the process. And so I think it's a pretty reasonable bill to say, okay, let's certify it. You know, under Sarbanes-Oxley, we require CEOs to certify that their financial statements are accurate. I don't see a problem in asking the heads of these agencies and departments to certify that all the vetting process is actually performed and the people we do let in don't pose a threat. And by the way, I would also prioritize the people we let in, women and children, relatives of Syrian American citizens that could financially support them. That'd be the top priority. That'd be the first criteria. And with 4 million refugees, I think we could probably limit it to that, and I don't think that poses a real danger, but we can't short-circuit the process.
Why would you think the administration or agencies would want to shortcut the process?
Because we're going to be increasing the refugee flow, according to the administration, by 21% this year and 43% the next. That puts a fair amount of pressure on the manpower and the resources within the Department of Homeland Security, who's the primary vetting agency here, to short-circuit the process. So all I'm saying is make sure you completely vet these individuals, and the ones we let in, because we've gone through on a very priority basis, represent no threat to America. I think it's a pretty reasonable proposal. But listen, I'm willing to work with my Democrat Senate colleagues on this. A number of them have already approached me, would like to potentially strengthen our visa waiver program, which in our hearing that we held Thursday, a number of experts said that's probably a greater threat, and I agree with that. I also agree with the fact that our porous borders represent an even greater threat than the Syrian refugees. So there are a number of things we need to do, but let's start with securing our border, which we haven't done, and we haven't made a commitment to that for decades.
Scott in Whitewater is with us. Hello, Scott.
Yes, I just don't understand Senator Johnson that it takes 2 years almost to get a Syrian refugee over here, and these people are leaving everything behind so that their children's heads and hands don't get cut off, their children don't get raped, and you're making it a political issue. It's a 2-year vetting process, and if it's been failing and it hasn't been good enough, you've been failing at your job, Senator.
Response to that, Senator Johnson?
Scott, first of all, I'm not disagreeing with you. Again, you know, listen to what I'm saying. As long as the vetting process is fully completed, I'm saying on a prioritized basis, let women and children. I know some of the young men in our briefing. I said, you know, why do we let any young men in? Well, they've been tortured. So on a case-by-case basis, again, if the head of the Department of Homeland Security, certifies that the vetting process has been complete, and because of that vetting process, those individuals represent no threat to America, yeah, that's what the bill says. So I'm not saying not allow any of it in. I'm just saying let's be really cautious and not short-circuit the process.
Yeah. So what changes are you considering for this bill in order to see that it passes the Senate?
Well, I think there's been some concern about forcing the FBI director, who's really not in charge of the vetting process. They just maintain the databases, to have him certified. Now, I personally would be willing to just let the Department of Homeland Security, because that's really Jay Johnson in charge of the USCIS, which is the real vetting process here, to do the certification. I think we could improve the bill by doing some reforms to the U.S. The visa waiver program. Jeff Flake and Dianne Feinstein are looking at not allowing people who have recently traveled to Iraq and Syria go through that visa waiver program, potentially require passports with chips and biometric data. But there are a number of things we can do to strengthen the other vulnerabilities, like the visa waiver program. And certainly I would be happy to start improving the security on our border. We passed a bill through our committee, a border metrics bill, which is unfortunately being held up right now by members of the Gang of Eight because it's not comprehensive reform. Listen, we ought to take a step-by-step approach, and we ought to incrementally improve our border security as well. So, I'm pretty flexible. I'm open to doing whatever we need to do to keep this nation safe. I think that's what Americans are hungering for. That's certainly what I hear around Wisconsin is, there's not a sense of safety and security, and people are hungry for leadership.
And it's 7:30. I know we need to let you go. Thank you very much for being with us.
Have a great day.
Ron Johnson, a Republican U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, chair of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committees. He also is the author of the Senate version of the bill that would increase screening of Syrian refugees to the United States. And he has been calling on the United States to lead a coalition of the willing to defeat ISIS. We did, by the way, reach out to Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin and Wisconsin's congressional Democrats, but they were unavailable to join us during this hour.